This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good day, listeners. Rodney Brown here, and it's good to be with you. Good to bring a Bible message. And today I want to read from the Gospel by Luke and chapter 24, and it's verse 44 I want to read. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. And he said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." I'm thinking today of the little phrase, "all things must be fulfilled." In previous meditations, we have been thinking of the word "must." We read in John chapter 3 and verse 7 that you must be born again. And then we also thought about John 3 and verse 30, where John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We thought too about John 3 and 14, where Jesus said that he must be lifted up. In John chapter 4, it says about him that he must go through Samaria. Then in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, we read how that he must suffer. And I'm coming to another one today. He himself said that all things must be fulfilled. And he was referring, of course, to the writings of the Old Testament, the scriptures of the Old Testament. And he spoke about what was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All things must be fulfilled. And it's very interesting when we read the Old Testament scriptures that there were many, many things written about the Messiah, about Christ. Of course, it would be too much for us to go into all the details of that today, but just to mention a few of these things that were written in the Old Testament concerning himself, things that we could take out of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, called the Law of Moses, taking some from the prophets and also from the Psalms. What did the Old Testament say concerning him? The first one that I think of is a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where it says that his name would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that prophecy by Isaiah was written approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ. And then we read how that it was fulfilled when he was born. We read of that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, where his name was Emmanuel, with the meaning God with us. And what a strong statement this is as to the deity of Christ, that is the Godhood of Christ, that when that little baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he wasn't just a normal baby born. He wasn't only a very important one who was born, but he was actually God born in human flesh, the only person of whom this was true. And so he was Emmanuel, prophesied by Isaiah, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1. His growing up was also prophesied in the Old Testament, the same prophet Isaiah, as we think of chapter 53 and verse 2 there. Isaiah speaks of his growing up before the Lord Jehovah, and Isaiah says he would be like a tender plant and like a root out of a dry ground. And this was the one who was growing up in before the eyes of Jehovah. As we think of the nation that he was born into and the nation that he grew up in, that is the nation of Israel, it was a spiritually barren, a spiritually dry place where there was so little for God in it all. But here was one who was different, like a tender plant and like a root out of a dry ground. I'm thinking of the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Moses spoke about a prophet that the Lord God would raise up to the people. A prophet, a specific one, a definite one that God would raise up for them. And then whenever the Lord Jesus was here and he did a wonderful miracle, we call it the feeding of the 5,000. And after that miracle, the people said this. They said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." That is in John chapter 6 and verse 14. There were many prophets, of course, prophets who came forth in the name of the Lord, and they spoke in his name, and they said, "Thus says the Lord." But he not only was a prophet, he himself is the word of the Lord to the people, because we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he is the Word of God, and he declared the Word of God. We also read in the Old Testament how that he would be rejected by the people. Same prophecy, same chapter, Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he would be rejected. And that was literally fulfilled when the people said, "Crucify him." We find that in Luke 23 and 21. In Psalm 22 and 16, that prophetic psalm, it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." A definite reference to a crucifixion. And that was fulfilled when they crucified him. We read in Luke 23 and 33, "When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." Again, in the same chapter of Isaiah and verse 5, the prophet says how that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And Peter, as he writes in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25, says that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and that by his stripes, he says, writing to the Christians, you were healed. And in Psalm 22 again, and verse 1, we read these words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And those words were literally quoted by Christ on the cross in Matthew chapter 27 and 46, where his language was actually written for us in the New Testament, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Then we also read about his burial, how that they would have just wanted to crucify him, and how they would want to bury him with criminals, but we read how that he was with the rich in his death, fulfilled by Joseph, a rich man, in Matthew 27 and verse 57. And we also read how that he was indeed numbered with the transgressors and the others who were led with him to be crucified in Matthew 27 and 58, where the criminals crucified at Calvary. But we can rejoice to know that his death and his burial was not the end. There would be a future for him, and that was also prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 53 and verse 11. And we see that in his resurrection, Matthew 28 and 6, how that he is not here, how that he is risen, and all that would follow his resurrection. And so Jesus Christ says in Luke 24 and verse 44, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And up until the point of his resurrection and his ascension and his exaltation into heaven, all has been literally fulfilled. What a proof of the truth of the scriptures, the truth of the Old Testament scriptures fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. And the New Testament makes it very clear who he really is, that he is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but he's also the Lord Jesus Christ. And before him we read how that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a wonderful thing to know that he is the Savior, that he came into this world not to be our judge, but to be our Savior. And we need a Savior. He is the only Savior to save us from our sins and has done everything that was required by God for him to do that we might be saved from our sins. And then in the New Testament, after his resurrection and exaltation, the people were called upon to repent and to believe in him if we want to have salvation. And so that is the message today as we think of the reliability of the Scriptures, that it's all true. And the Bible tells us that we need to trust, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And that is the desire of myself today and of those who put out these messages, that all who listen might come into the knowledge of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. If you would like to contact me, you can do it on my email address, rodwbrown@gmail.com.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.